This is Melissa, and it is the 19th of January, 2026, and I'm going to share something with you. We'll call it a real history special or a real history short or addendum, and I'll make a quick little video and put this up here for you tonight. And I wanted to also say while I am talking here that I have put up the first of the COVID-19 timeline videos that Mike in Canada did. And these are only going to be available in video form. And they'll go up about one a week. And I put the first one up on Thursday. And there will be the second one, which is the February 2020 installment. And that will go up tomorrow or Wednesday, probably Wednesday of this week. I do have a regular real history scheduled with a lovely family in Idaho, and that's Blue and her husband Don and their daughter Olivia. And I've spoken with them a few times, and I like them. They're a very lovely family, and I'm looking forward to having that conversation. So what I wanted to share with you this evening is an email that I received from Greg Gorsuch. And Greg Gorsuch, you may recall if you watched the coverage that Nick Hayes and I did of Paralandra, the second novel in the Ransom series by C.S. Lewis, that I ended up talking to him, and Nick said, talk to him and record it and share it with me and then publish it. And Greg was a good sport. He agreed to all of that. And so he is a theologian and a longtime listener to Alan Watts talks, and he listens to me as well. And when Nick and I concluded that Hideous Strength, he listened to that and then wrote me an email. And so that is what I am sharing with you, the email that I got from him last week. That Hideous Strength, CTTM, concluding discussion. Melissa, even though you are done with That Hideous Strength, I thought I would make a few comments that might help clarify what I think Lewis was attempting to communicate. I thoroughly enjoyed the discussion and found it very fruitful. I have not reread the parts of the book you discussed last time, but I plan to do so in a week or two after I catch up. You both mentioned that the chapter title, Real Life is Meeting, felt meaningless to you. Christianity, and all of reality for that matter, can be reduced to relationship. Specifically, a type of relationship we call love, or technically, perichoresis. This chapter also features a one-sentence history of modernity, tracing through the philosophers who birthed it, Hegel, Hume, positivism, and nihilism, culminating in today's post-structuralism. In the latter, we end up with no true connection within our interactions. We are simply ships passing in the night, bearing the illusion of sharing meaningful understanding. In describing evil, ultimate reality becomes what we alone perceive of the other, and nothing more. Therefore, Lewis uses the objective room to create the illusion that commensurate meaning is not experienced between us or in the world, which ultimately destroys the concept of agency. In the Christian concept of perichoresis, there is a middle third term, an in-between that emerges among us to mediate meaning between people, each having their own distinct meaning frames. We see this in the Christian contrast to Babel, Pentecost, which features a living mediation of communication among us, accessible to all who are truly open to the other. In this portending of complete redemption, the disciples speak in their own Arabic dialect, yet everyone else hears it in their own mother tongue. Several languages are mentioned. However, our current lack of development and closure, sin, weakens the synchronization of this mediation, corrupting these mediation channels. Many of these are neutral, like the ancient mediums Merlin presents, but have since fallen under the influence of darkness. Because of this, Merlin is told not to use them, lest they instantly corrupt under the evil that has brought them under its power. All this is to say, we do not exist within a reality, creation, that is out there. Instead, reality arises from and within each relationship through the third term of all relationships, Colossians 1, 16 and 17. All things are created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things are held together. This is an accepted translation from the Greek. Notice the before, indicating Christ through the Spirit in the eternal, before time, then emerging into time, bringing everyone together in a synchronized movement. Therefore, a new level of realness is emerging in both Mark and Jane as they pick up their respective crosses and surrender themselves into the relationship, or to that which mediates all loving relationships, Christ and the Spirit. In this chapter, both have their reckoning. Recognize their own issues, let go, and allow the relationship to transform them. So, real life is meeting. A genuine and deeper connection with each other happens when we fully release ourselves to the transforming power of open relationship. Words are magical. They carry meaning between us because they exist within an emerging medium we call spirit. Without spirit, words hold no meaning. Without breath, there are no words. Spirit isn't just God's spirit. Everything has spirit. Relationship itself is spirit. Paul explains that our struggle isn't against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, and authorities, which are spiritual entities through which we interact and communicate. Every culture, tribe, CTTM, and so on has developed these mediums for communication. For Paul, redemption brings these mediums into harmony with one another and with God, 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 28. Those at Pentecost who were not open to the other, those who manipulate and impose their singular meaning on interactions without allowing the genuine relations of the other to influence or transform them, hear only gibberish, babbling. The reckoning and relational work that Mark and Jane both experience in this chapter preclude but also accomplish the final meeting that occurs when they finally reunite. Essentially, they genuinely meet each other in this chapter when each lets go and allows themselves to see their mistake and surrender into the relationship where they are transformed. Mark releases Jane from his manipulative expectations, and Jane embraces a feminine strength rather than a masculine one, which she doesn't yet fully understand because it is still emerging. In fact, It continues to develop even in today's culture. In essence, they become time travelers. They already consummate within the eternal in this chapter and await the full physical consummation to come. Hebrews 11. A Jungian book, Here All Dwell Free, by Gertrude Nelson, is a wonderful work that highlights many of our culture's issues by illustrating how men try to cultivate kindness, but often imitate feminine kindness, which can lead to emasculation. Conversely, women are stepping into new levels of strength and social prominence, but tend to mimic masculine strength instead of seeking a new form of feminine strength within humanity. We are gradually transformed from one degree to another by the beholding of God's glory in the world through the Spirit of God in our midst. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Once again, C.S. Lewis reminds us of the emerging image of God in those open to it. Let us make humanity in our image. Let us make them male and female. Genesis 1. Note that the words feminine and masculine were not available in ancient Hebrew. Both Mark and Jane are learning to fully open to the other for the first time in their relationship, the feminine, which transforms them. Then they make new, decisive decisions with conviction for the future, the masculine. The obvious sexual allusions are intentional. In the Old Covenant, we align ourselves with God's will, like a three-year-old. In the New Covenant, we synchronize our will with God's, as our longings and desires integrate with God's will, like an adolescent. In other words, to the extent we act in love, our desires and will influence, transform God, as well as God influencing, transforming our eventual desires and will within the eternal before entering time, cognition. In this way, they emerge together in harmony. This explains the scriptural preeminence given to Jacob in the Old Testament and Peter in the New Testament, who are both recognized for winning over God's will and their personal decisions being integrated into God's will and creation of the next moment. This provides greater coherence to the scriptures and the Christian faith. No one today knows what to do with the enigma of the preeminence given to Jacob and Peter. The only two people in the Bible whose names are completely changed by God. This is detailed in my book, From One Degree to Another, which is scheduled for release in a couple of months. Hope this helps. And I do find it helpful. I do find these ideas about relationship to be helpful. We are all in a relationship with someone, and that is, as Alan would point out, it's our humanity that is our salvation. So when our relationships are superficial, they are not satisfying. And I think that the concepts here that Greg Gorsuch shared in conjunction with rethinking that section of the book, I have a better understanding of it myself, and so I wanted to share that with you. So I will go ahead and make a quick little video for this and post it tonight. And I've given you the schedule. There will be another COVID-19 timeline video going up Wednesday and the regular real history on Thursday, and then a redux on Sunday and book club on Saturday. We have two more sessions, one unrecorded, and then on the 31st, the conclusion of Waiting for the Miracle. So it has been, I think, a very rewarding and sustained conversation that we've had. And I'm looking forward to a break. So just one last little thing. The next week, so whatever day Thursday is a week from this upcoming one, I'll be having a Real History with Nick Hayes, and we are going to cover A Scanner Darkly. And we seem to think we're going to get it all done in one conversation, so fingers crossed. I'm going to have a movie night with a childhood friend and her husband this Friday night, and we're going to watch a Philip K. Dick movie based on a short story of his, and it's called Paycheck. I've seen it before, but my friends haven't, and I'm looking forward to sharing that with them. And we actually said that we're going to do back-to-back, week-to-week movie nights. So we'll have Paycheck this Friday night, and then the following Friday night, we will have Minority Report. And they haven't seen that one either. And of course, I've seen that one a few times too. But it's speaking of relationships and wanting to share things with others, there's something when you bring something to someone else that you get to experience it almost as if for the first time yourself. So I'm looking forward to that. And I hope that some of you who listened to this and, you know, knew going in that you wanted to hear it have gotten something from it. And I thank Greg Gorsuch for taking the time to write such a thoughtful email that he is allowing me to share with you all. Take care.